SafetyFM.com with Jay Allen. Changing safety cultures, one broadcast and one podcast at a time.
Well, hello and welcome to an all-new episode of Safety FM with Jay Allen. I hope everything is good and grand inside of your neck of the woods. And today we are going to hang out and do some stuff. So over the last few weeks, we've been talking about some of the conversations that we had while we're at the Global Safety Innovation Summit in Australia. Now, the interesting part was I got to sit down during this conversation and speak to Gordon Walsh. He is a principal consultant at Safety Center of Excellence at Energy Safety Canada. Now, of course, we sit down and we talk about the event that is coming up at Energy Safety Canada here relatively quick. And then we go into the whole ordeal of what we're seeing there while we're in Australia. So sit down, relax, and take a listen to this conversation between me and Gordon Walsh right here on Safety FM with Jay Allen. Well, Gordon, we're here in Australia. It's interesting as I look at this because the journey where I met you was all the way in Banff. I mean, we had met virtually now that I think about it. We had met via Zoom, if I remember correctly, yep. At the Hop Hub. At this point, I feel like it was centuries ago, but this was, what was it, 2020, 2021?
Yeah, something there, Jay. And then we met in Florida, if you remember.
Oh, yes.
We were down at Fort Lauderdale, so a year ago from now.
Wow.
A good year ago, and that was a heck of a conference.
No, that was St. Pete.
St. Pete,
yes.
Sorry.
You're fine.
Yep, it was in Florida. I remember that. St. Petersburg, beautiful place.
And now we're in Australia. Apparently, we're trying just to follow the pretty weather, it looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can tell you, coming from Calgary, this is a very nice lift here with the warm sun.
First, I mean, I have to tell you, it's been close to a year since we were up in Banff doing your conference. And I was so impressed as being there. Number one, I thought it was in Harry Potter land starting off. I'm not going to lie. I said that to Todd and he kind of chuckled at the time. But the amount of things that were going on at the event and the things on how it was placed and the placement. And you had two pretty large prominent hotels that were stacked in regards to the amount of people that were coming to your event.
Yeah,
I wanted to sit with you and be like, hey, how does this all come about?
Yeah, it's a full year of planning with our team and our in-house staff, and they work with a third-party agency as well. And of course, in cooperation with the Banff Springs Hotel to secure those facilities for multiple years out. They book up and it's one of the most beautiful places in the world. There's no two ways about it.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just absolutely stunning there. And we had such great weather and last year and we had a full house. We had, 800 delegates there, lots of people, coming from far and wide to really, dive into the new view and, HOP space. So this is, it's been a journey it's a longstanding conference, but we've really accelerated the last couple of years with the interest in the presenters that we've been able to bring to Banff.
So how did this come about? How did this conference, even if you have the history of it, how did it come about? How was the plan all of a sudden fall into place of, okay, we're going to move forward, put this together in one of the most beautiful places that you can go to in the world? I mean, let's just be realistic.
Yeah, that's a good question, but we've been in the Banff Springs for the last half dozen years, I believe. And then we were over at the Banff Center before that for many years. I've been with the organization 14 years, so been going up there for, yearly. How many years before that we've been in Banff? I'm not positive, but the conference itself has been going for over 50 years.
Oh, wow.
And it's, it services the oil and gas industry. It's always been that place where people connect and, make new friends and learn a little something new in what's at the forefront of, health and safety in the industry.
So how did you start getting involved with Energy Safety Canada? How did this come about? So 14 years, how did the path start for you?
Yeah. So for me, it was, I've been working in health and safety for 21 years. I worked for, Trucking Association and, in Alberta, in based out of Calgary. That was my first job in health and safety. And then I moved into manufacturing and worked there for a number of years. And an opportunity came up with the oil and gas industry. We were Enform at the time, and our VP, Paula Kampkin, approached me and said, you know, we got some openings if you're interested. And I said, you know, it's time to learn a little bit about the oil and gas industry in this great province that I live in Alberta. So I hadn't worked in the industry, so it gave me an opportunity to get that inside look. And here I am 14 years later, and I'm still loving the job. It's great people to work with in a great industry.
So it wasn't one of those things where like, oh, you haven't been doing too good, let's go ahead and move you into the safety row.
No, I wasn't one of those. My life started out very different. I worked heavy equipment operation. I did some underground mining in Nova Scotia on the East Coast, and I had a very much a life changing experience there. I worked at the Westray coal mine, which actually blew up in 1992, May 9th of 1992. 26 miners were killed, the whole crew. I worked on some of the rescue efforts after that, and that was a huge change for me. And it was, if I would say, how does it relate to my work in HOP now? It's quite relevant from the fact that when you work in a coal mine, you're much dependent on a lot of things that is beyond your control: the ventilation systems, the design, your crew, your activities, your equipment, your machinery, your methane monitors. All these things are very system based things, and you as an individual person, you only have so much influence over that. You're inserted into that environment, and if that environment is not designed and maintained correctly, then you can become a victim of that environment very, very easily. And that's what coal mines, that's what happens in coal mines. So it's, you have a lot of hazards, and there's a lot of associated risk.
It's interesting when you start taking a look at it and how some of these things that you don't kind of associate at the time later down the road on how they have these things on how they tie in. It's amazing also on how you are able to say the date exactly, May 9th, 1992, in regard to what occurred, because these are life-changing events that occur. I mean, of course, you have several miners that died during the time, but when you kind of look back and reflect at it, you go, okay, this is going to be a changing point in my career and what you're looking at. And then it's interesting on how you look at some of these other things that have come into your life, and you're always able to go back to, this is a changing point in what's going on.
Absolutely. And you know, Jay, it's one of those things that, for me, it gave me a completely different appreciation for what it means to get up in the morning and go to work and come home at the end of the day. And so in my day-to-day work now, in the last 4 years, I've been assigned to work in the human performance, human and organizational performance operationalization within our industry. And as an employee of Energy Safety Canada, and this is always in the back of my mind, is that every person that is out there working, they're there to make a living. And, you know, the goal is reduce serious injuries, reduce fatalities, and get down to, if we want to talk about zero, that's the one we want to talk about zero on, is to have zero life-changing events. And, you know, I talked to Ivan Popolitti about this last night on the bus going over to the event. And, you know, these are stories that, you know, you don't want to have these repeat stories. Maybe someday we won't have people talking about these mega disasters in industry. And so that's why it's such a it's a privilege to be involved with an organization and with an industry that is pushing hard to eliminate serious injuries and fatalities.
Well, I look around at some of the stuff that Energy Safety Canada is doing, and I would almost say it, you're in the forefront in regards to what you're doing, not just in Canada, of course, but across the world. When you start taking a look at what are some of the things that are being implemented and done there, it's just amazing to look at the amount of resources that are putting into, let's drive what needs to change inside of the industry. And I can't imagine having that kind of backing where all of a sudden it's this big push in regards to doing some of these things. And I know that yesterday we spoke briefly about some of the things that you're doing, but could you cover some of those?
Sure.
With the audience members?
Yeah, you know, it's in to give you just a little bit of history on it, you know, our board of directors are made up of people from industry, and they're wise people, and they're looking out in front. And, you know, they realized, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, with our chairman at the time was John Ryan, former Shell employee, and with our leadership team, our executive leadership team, that we needed to do something differently. We needed to change the trajectory of what we were seeing in industry. And in their, you know, in their wisdom, they connected with the companies who were making strides in this area, Chevron being one of them. And they decided that, look, we're going to put some resources into this. We're going to put a person in this position. And I just happened to be available from the training department, and they changed up my role and asked me if I was interested. And the great part about it is that they just said, go learn about human performance. And I started buying some books, calling some people. And a lot of those people were in the States or Australia, and making friends across the world and talking about what we wanted to do. Started a community of practice, and we called it our speaker series. So we're 4 years in now. We've had incredible presenters on, and we got my year is almost booked up now till the end of November for to have more people on. And this has been I started off with 18 people, and we got 220 people on that list now. And and these are folks that are they're learning, they're motivated, they're interested, and they really want to make a change. So we're creating that, you know, that momentum as an organization. And part of that, as we started to grow that part of the community of practice, we also teamed up with Dr. Tristan Casey and Kim Bancroft from Australia here, and we put together a 10-week safety evolution workshop that we've hosted online, and we'll be running that again. And we've ran that course where it's trying to take people from where they currently are so they can critically assess their programs and then look at moving into a better space and you know, in more in line with the new view, safety differently, in that terminology. So that's been a great project. Myself, personally, I've done a ton of 1 hour, 2 hour sessions with organizations, and I have the freedom to do that. We support thousands of companies. Those companies pay part of my wages, so I'm fully free to go and do presentations and not have to create contracts for payment, or, you know, that I'm not a consultant. My role is principal consultant, but I support industry. That's what my role is.
So let's talk about that for a moment. So how did you see that there was the need in the industry at the time that, okay, so this doesn't exist? We're talking 4 years back, and
yep.
I mean, we're in a different world 4 years ago. Let's be realistic. I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic, or at least the beginning of it. So how did all of a sudden did you go, how did you come to the determination, this is a need, let's move forward with this?
Yeah, and we had a bit of a strategic meeting 4 years ago with our president and CEO, Murray Elliott, and our vice president, Paula Kampkin. And we sat down and said, look, what can we do? How can we affect change with industry? How can we support change? And Chevron was kind enough to have us come down and do a full day of training with them. And that really opened our eyes. And coming from my training background with the organization, it was like, okay, we need to put a plan in place here to identify where there's gaps in people's knowledge, where what access they have, what's the level of education in this space. And we found out pretty quickly that there were a few people that were knowledgeable, but they were working for individual companies. It wasn't there wasn't a collective amongst the HSE personnel of the oil and gas industry that were really knowledgeable in this. So that's where I just dug in and grabbed some books, started doing some work internally ourselves, and contacting key people in organizations and say, hey, what do you guys think we need? And people were pretty vocal to say, look, we need to get this message out to the boots on the ground, people that are doing the work, to the operations people. We need to go to Fort McMurray, to our oil sands groups. So we put some one-day seminars together. Those were filled very quickly, 50 persons in the room, great discussions all day, really candid discussions about how work is actually done, not just about how it's planned, but how it's done and carried out. And what are those challenges when you're working in minus 30 or minus 40 and you have a new crew, or where you don't have the experienced people that you need, or whatever the case may be, or you have so many procedures that it's virtually impossible to keep up with them and even to carry those out in the way they're written. So we really exposed a lot of the things that were that workers were having difficulty with. And we had these very candid conversations between the big operating companies and the contractors at the same time. And it, and it's not a headbutting affair. It's actual collaboration for the common good. Let's reduce serious injury and fatality. And there, and that, that's where the focus is coming from. And it's coming from across industry. The big operators at one time, it was like, contractors, go away, do your training, do what you have to do, show up and do your task. Now it's like, contractors, we're glad to have you in the room with us. Is there anything you need from us? You know, ExxonMobil, Imperial Oil Canada are sharing their resources. Chevron sharing their resources. Shell sharing their resources. Suncor, Syncrude, all of these various groups are highly motivated to have the contracting companies that, that they work with hand in hand succeed in this space and all about reducing serious injury and fatality.
But isn't it interesting how Energy Safety Canada is almost like the gel in between the companies that are just kind of going, okay, let's push this forward to the forefront. I mean, if you take a look at it in regards of you're going to them and saying, what do you need? They're sharing resources with you. You're able to gel, okay, here, we'll call it gap management for the purpose of this, but there's some gap management here that we can talk about and say, okay, well, this company's doing this, this other organization's doing this, how can we get together? And you're coming in and saying, okay, let's do the best of both worlds.
Absolutely. And industry funds a very good portion of our budget for the run of a year through our WCB dividend system that we have in Alberta. We're a funded safety association by industry. And so industry gives us our marching orders. Our executive put that into a plan, and then we carry it out as staff. And it's, I can tell you, it is the best job in the world to go to companies and say, how can I serve you? It is, and that's our role. It's how can we serve you? What can we do to bring something to you that maybe you don't have the resources yourself to get? You know, we just hosted a 1 day event in Calgary 2 weeks ago with Brent Sutton and Jeffrey Lith come up and did a 1 day seminar. We co-hosted with Imperial Oil Canada. We at their facility in Calgary, we had a full house. People learned a lot on the 4Ds and the seminar on learning teams. That's the kind of collaboration that we really, strive for with industry. And really keeping it at a price where dollars are not going to keep you out of that chair. We want people coming in, learning, taking it back, and then reaching out to us again for more. The more they reach out for us, the more we'll put our thinking caps on to provide those services.
So I look back at this and I'm kind of sitting here listening to you talk, and it's great to be able to serve, especially the industry that you're in. But I look at it and I go, your knowledge base must have grown significantly as you're going down this path. I mean, I can't imagine from when they were saying, here's a sheet of paper, come up with something, make a plan, to where you're at today.
Absolutely, Jay. Like, this has been a very humbling journey for me. I thought I knew a fair bit about safety management before I went down into this road, and then I read Sidney Decker's book and Hall Nagel's book and Todd Conklin's books and Andy and Bob Roberts' book and many more. And when you And then started sharing them and socializing an insider organization, we started having meetings with our own staff so we could build capacity in-house. And all the while, your knowledge is increasing and your understanding. And, when I talked to Sidney last night, I had a great chat with Sidney Decker last night coming back on the bus. And I said, there's nothing that I've read out of all the stuff that's been published that makes me go, I fundamentally disagree with this, or I don't understand where these authors are coming from. I have not had that experience. Some of it is more difficult to understand how to operationalize things or how to implement things, because it's very specific to individual companies. And it takes some it takes some beard stroking and, you know, some head scratching in order to kind of sit there with your coffee and think a bit about how do we operationalize this? How do we put that into motion? But the one thing that I don't claim to be at the front of the room is any kind of an expert when I'm delivering these seminars. I say I'm truly in the intermediary area from, you know, what the academics have put together, what the research has proven to be good practice. And we're trying to say, hey, this might work for you. And really being careful about when we're talking to companies, not to say, you know, what you've been doing is bad. No, what you've been doing is great. We've decreased injuries in 20 years. We've in our industry, we've decreased overall injuries by 30% in our space. But our fatalities over the last 12 years, that fatality rate has stayed flat. And that's the one that I remind the people of. This is not cut fingers. This is not a broken finger. This is when people lose their life. And what we have to do is that we have to put that focus on these life-changing events and those. And that's what drives me to, you know, read the academic papers, as slow of a reader as I am, and to try to do that. But absolutely, I feel much more comfortable talking about the concepts, and I don't have to second guess myself as much. But coming to a conference like this in Alberta and listening to Bob and Andrea yesterday doing their workshop, and listening to Todd and Sidney Decker and Ivan Pobleti and many others, to actually just sit and do a recheck on my own understanding of things, this is really a powerful opportunity for me to just make sure that I kind of level set in how I'm speaking about these concepts.
I mean, and as you look at it, as we're at this Global Safety Innovation Summit, I've been screwing up the name quite a bit as I've been doing these recordings. This is the first time they've done anything like this here. And to think that you have 603 delegates sitting in this room next to us, absolutely, coming here to take a listen in. It's not an easy place to get to. I mean, it was quite a flight just to get here. Not a bad thing, but I look at it and I go, these are people that are wanting more information, and you're seeing it North America side in regards of what's going on. So when you see something like this, what does it do to your drive?
You know, this to me just, it really reinforces what we're doing in Banff. And it's giving us some other great ideas of how we can kind of diversify our days and at our Banff conference to maybe engage more people or give a different level of opportunity for engagement with the presenters. The workshops are great. These small workshops really help people to feel free to ask questions that have been unanswered in their mind for a period of time, and to really have somebody at the front of the room who has, you know, good expertise and understanding in this. I watched this yesterday with Andrea and Bob. They answered some very tough questions, but the people felt comfortable to speak their mind. What I've really noticed, Jay, in this space of the safety professionals and practitioners who are interested in learning about human and organizational performance and operationalizing it and the other titles that come with it, what I'm seeing is people that are open to learn. They're humble. They're not fearful that they're going to ask a stupid question. They really want the best for their organizations. And we've heard some great stories here of how people have implemented this, and it's making a difference in their groups. It's making, and we're seeing, you know, Ivan Pobleti talked about, you know, the U.S. Forest Service and the reduction in their fatalities from 17 down to zero in the last 2 years. You know, this is powerful proof to me that, you know, we're on the right path here.
So talk to me a little bit about the conference that you have coming up here at the beginning of at the end of April, beginning of May.
Yeah. And we're really excited. We have, Sidney Decker is coming up, and he's going to be headlining. He's going to be on the 29th. I think it is. He's going to be dealing at our executive summit. That's where we bring executives of our energy industry into downtown at the Petroleum Club, and we'll do a morning session there, and Sydney will have, you know, a captive audience of leaders in our industry, and to really be able to impress upon that group what's new, what is the path to a better to a better place, a better trajectory than where we've been. And so Sydney will be doing that.
But let me interrupt you real quick on that, and I apologize. But that Petroleum Club one, that's by invite only. I want to make sure that I have that correct.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is, but anyone, you know, that's in our industry can certainly contact our communications manager and get the invite for that. What we're trying to do is get the highest level people in the organization in the same place at the same time to hear, you know, the latest messaging on health and safety in this space. Then the following day, on the 30th, I believe it is, we will be in Banff, and for 3 days we'll have, you know, lots of speakers up there, concurrent speakers, and, you know, we have Dr. Sean Brady coming from Australia, Dr. Dave Proven, Dr. Sid will be coming as well. He's going to be doing his presentation, Sid Decker. And there's many more that will be there. We have a gentleman that was a former employee of Boeing going to be coming and talking about the 737 MAX and how that unfolded. So there'll be lots of interest in that, I'm sure. Lauren Mooney will be there talking about, sitting in and how we create that psychological safety space and all of those things. So we have a lot of workshops happening at the same time. Brent Sutton and Josh Bryant will be doing a real case study on the 4Ds and how that's made a difference in Josh's company here in Australia. So we're super excited. It'll be flat out busy for 1 week. As you know, you've been there last year, Jay, and it's it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of people working, collaborating. We had that hellish forest fire there last year, right around the Banff area, that got out of control, and we ended up having to go from the barbecue being outside to an indoor event, and our staff managed that quite nicely, and everybody ended up having a good time.
You have some magicians that are on your team there, and I'm not calling anybody out in particular, but Amy is quite excellent at what she does in regards to putting that
Amy
stuff together.
Amy and Carly are they're the driving force in our office, organizing the stuff, and the rest of us just kind of fall in line and we're kind of told what to do and help out and where we need to. But we have a great staff and great leadership, right from our CEO and president Marie, right down through Paula as our VP, and all the folks that fall in line there to make this happen. And of course the Banff Springs, they understand how to do their job. They're experts. They have that little castle in the mountains there, and they're proud of where they work and the services they provide to us and our stakeholders.
So if people want to find out more information about the event, where can they go?
Yeah, they can go to energysafetycanada.com right on our website, and you can see on the right-hand side of that opening page is the conference details, and there's still openings there to get in, but I'm sure they're going to start booking up and filling up fast. The workshops fill up really quick. No two ways about it. But I can say after all the years I've been there, the last 2 to 3 years of the energy in the room and the collaborative spirit amongst the safety people in the room, and when I talk to people individually and say, what are you getting from this? What are you learning? Or what are you able to take back? And the conversations, there's nobody hesitant to say, this is great. This is awesome. These presenters are really, really knowledgeable. We really appreciate the fact we can reach out to them afterwards. And, you know, we have so much capacity at Energy Safety Canada, but part of my role as well is really linking with experts around the world and knowing the capabilities of those experts, so that when companies call me and ask for very specific activities, well, then I can refer a Todd Conklin, or I can refer a Brent Sutton or an Ivan Popoliti or somebody else that's there that has that, or Jeff Lith or whoever. And I can say, yeah, these people are out there working. These people are doing these kinds of things. You should talk to them. Tony Machera is a guy who, you know, did a bunch of work with us on critical steps. You should talk to him. So that's part of my role as well, is to try to identify and just be that kind of middle person to, you know, facilitate some discussions, introductions, all those things. And another person I didn't mention that we're really excited about having at the conference is Dr. Matt Halliwell. Okay. So, and mm-hmm. and as you know, Dr. Halliwell is the, you know, he's the executive director for the Construction Safety Research Alliance, and they do a ton of great work. And we're a member of that organization, and we work on some of the research projects there as well at the University of Boulder. And we're thrilled that we're getting Matt to come up.
He's a great guy.
So it's going to be, you know, where there's energy, there's injury. Where there's more energy, there's more potential for injury. And that's, you know, that's Matt's world. And in he's going to be putting on some great presentations and a workshop as well. So,
well, Gordon, I appreciate the work that you and Energy Safety Canada are doing to try to make this world a better place. Thank you for coming on.
That's awesome, Jay. And I appreciate you taking the time to give us a little airspace here just to talk about our conference and what we do.
Thank you. Bye.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.